Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm your host, Ali. Well, in this program, The Teacher, we try to answer some of the major questions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear listeners, today in this show, we're going to be talking about a concept that is prevalent in the Abrahamic religions. And the concept is called prophethood. Today specifically, we're going to dive deeper into the need of having prophets who present the law, the divine law. Why do we need the prophets to begin with? Why does a human society comprised of different kinds of human beings living together, having a life, why do they need someone like a prophet or prophet himself to guide him? So the first reason that we think that should be mentioned or should be considered is that human beings stand in need of learning. So the purpose of the prophets is to teach, okay, to help human beings learn. What do we learn from prophets? It's an entirely different topic, but what we know for sure is that the prophets, they help us learn, okay? The second, which is beyond learning, is training. So based on that learning that we have acquired from the prophets, we train ourselves. Okay, because learning is theoretical in its nature, and then we go to the next step, which is the practical step, and that is training. So a prophet is supposed to teach people. At the same time, a prophet is supposed to train them. Now we need to know the social laws and the important role of the prophets in this area, the area of learning and training. We know that the greatest privilege of life for a human being, which is the factor for all of the progress in all of the various areas of life, is a dynamic social encounter. If you look at a human life at a macro level, this is how you see human beings. They're having a dynamic encounter with each other, with the different elements of the society, and not just the human beings, even the other elements that exist other than human beings. Most certainly, if human beings lived apart from each other, they would still be like the human beings in the Stone Age from the point of view of knowledge and civilization. Yes, it is the united efforts and endeavors which light the lamp of culture and civilization. When human beings, they live together, when human beings, they interact with each other, they come to resolutions of what the code of conduct is, this gives birth to that civilization that we are after as a human being. It is the united efforts and endeavors which are the source and origin for all of these scientific discoveries. If human beings were not helping out each other and were not complementing each other's efforts, we wouldn't be seeing the scientific progress even. You know, so this is where we know that human beings live as a society. This society at large needs guidance. And who provides that guidance? It's the prophets sent by Allah. As an example, for instance, if we consider the journey to the moon, we see that this was not the result of the work of one or several scientists. Rather, it has been the result of the efforts of millions of scholars over thousands of years and the experiences of scholars gained through group living, and then this knowledge reached the point where we find it today. So we're going to go for a short break, and once we come back from this short break, we're going to talk more about how the society benefits from the prophets. Stay with us. Thank you.
The following will show you selections from non-Muslims telling you what they think of the last prophet, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Dr. William Draper, in History of Intellectual Development of Europe, 4 years after the death of Justinian, AD 569, was born in Mecca, in Arabia, the man who, of all men, has exercised the greatest influence upon the human race, to be the religious head of many empires, to guide the daily life of one-third of the human race, may perhaps justify the title of a messenger of God. Philip K. Hitti, in History of the Arabs, within a brief span of mortal life, Muhammad called forth of unpromising material a nation never wielded before. In a country that was hitherto but a geographical expression, he established a religion which in vast areas suppressed Christianity and Judaism, and laid the basis of an empire that was soon to embrace within its far-flung boundaries the fairest provinces in the then civilized world. Thomas Carlyle, in Heroes and Hero Worship and the Heroic in History, the lies which well-meaning zeal has heaped round this man are disgraceful to ourselves only. A silent, great soul, one of that who cannot but be earnest, he was to kindle the world. The world's maker had ordered so. Mahatma Gandhi, statement published in Young India, 1924. I wanted to know the best of the life of one who holds today an undisputed sway over the hearts of millions of mankind. I became more than ever convinced that it was not the sword that won a place for Islam in those days in the scheme of life. It was the rigid simplicity, the utter self-effacement of the Prophet, the scrupulous regard for pledges, his intense devotion to his friends and followers, his intrepidity, his fearlessness, his absolute trust in God and in his own mission. These, and not the sword, carried everything before them and surmounted every obstacle. When I closed the second volume of the Prophet's biography, I was sorry there was not more for me to read of that great life. Edward Gibbon and Simon Oakley, in History of the Saracen Empire, London, 1870. The greatest success of Muhammad's life was affected by sheer moral force. It is not the propagation, but the permanency of his religion that deserves our wonder. The same pure and perfect impression which he engraved at Mecca and Medina is preserved after the revolutions of 12 centuries by the Indians, the African and the Turkish proselytes of the Quran. The Mohammedans have uniformly withstood the temptation of reducing the object of their faith and devotion to a level with the senses and imagination of man. I believe in one God, and Muhammad, the Apostle of God, is the simple and invariable profession of Islam.
Every day I see the same headlines, crimes committed in the name of the divine, people committing atrocities in his name. They murder and kidnap with no shame. But did he teach hatred, violence or bloodshed? No. Oh, no. He taught us about human brotherhood and against prejudice he firmly stood. He loved children, their hands he'd hold, and taught his followers to respect the old. So would he allow the murder of an innocent child? Oh no.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So before the break, we were talking about the need for prophets. And we said that human beings, they live together as a society. They do not have individual lives only. Above and beyond that is the collective life of human beings. This social life, this collective life, it has a lot of benefits, like we said before the break, like the scientific progress as one of the examples, but it also presents difficulties in the conflicts, like difficulties like having conflicts and fights and differences of opinion. And they arise naturally between different human beings with different backgrounds. So sometimes these conflicts and these differences, they result in wars and large-scale aggression. And we have seen nations, you know, even pounding nuclear bombs, like America pounded nuclear bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, right? The only nation today who has used these nuclear bombs is America. So the question is, why did they use them, right? What's the cause? What's the reason? Well, these are the conflicts or differences of opinion on different things that result into such an action. Now, this is where we need clear rules and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because human beings, human society is a product of Allah. So the rules have to come from the product, from somebody who has created this product, right? Now, these rules, okay, and laws, they can solve problems for our society. Primarily, three major problems that we're going to talk about today in this brief time that we have. The first problem that these rules and these divine laws, they solve for us is that these laws define the duties of each individual in relation to the society. Social duties are clarified and talents are coordinated, which blossom among human beings. This is the first benefit of having those divine laws, because these divine laws, they define those duties for us. Then the second one is that these laws coordinate the methods to be used to carry out one's responsibility by every individual. Okay, it also not only just gives the laws, it talks about the methods of carrying out those laws, how those laws get implemented, practically speaking, in our lives and in the society. The third and the last one that we're going to talk today is that these divine laws, which the prophets, they bring to us, are something that prevent the aggression of individuals against the rights of others. They prevent chaos and conflicts between individuals and groups, and when necessary, punishments are provided for aggressors. So all of these punishments, all of these red lines, all of these do's and don'ts, where do they come from? Where are they supposed to come from? We, as a human being, if we were to, you know, create them on our own, right, everybody would have a different list of do's and don'ts. Right? So to standardize it, the only option we have is to get it from our Creator. And how do we get these laws from our Creator? Through the prophets. There is no other way that we can have access to those laws that Allah has created for human beings and for the progress and development of human beings other than prophets. So we have to inevitably go towards the prophets, the divine prophets sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the guidance of human beings in order for the society to be guided. So with this, we leave it at this note that the need for prophethood is for our own guidance and felicity. Thank you for listening to today's show. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care and bye.